Well, hey again, good morning. We're glad that you're here this morning. Inside your bulletin, again, if you're new with us, we have a sheet in there, a place to maybe fill in some blanks and to take some notes. You might have some things that you want to write down that you feel like particularly speak to you, whether that comes directly from the Lord or whether you just feel that there's something in there that relates to your life, which is what I hope really happens, is that you connect with what we talk about. Because what I really hope to do in messages on Sunday mornings is to help you connect faith with life so that it makes a difference in your life, that it's not just an hour that you've come and kind of wasted, but it's really an hour where you've come and connected with God and connected with others so you might discover who it is that God created you to be and that you might live into that, that you might lean into that so you might experience the abundant life that God has in store for you. Well, we are in the midst of a message series based on this amazing book by Louis Giglio called Goliath Must Fall. It's an amazing book that Louis published this year. It came out in May, and it's a new take on a very old story, the story of David and Goliath. Most of us, even if you didn't grow up in the church, you know the story of David and Goliath. The armies of the Philistines and the armies of Saul are in a battle. The Philistines have been the arch enemies of the armies of God for years and years and years. And the battle has come down to this epic, pivotal moment in time, where in the Valley of Elah, the Philistines are on one side up on a hill, and the armies of Saul are on the other side, equally up on a hill, and in between them is this valley. And so you have the armies of the Philistines on one side, the armies of Saul, or what David refers to as the armies of the living God, on the other side, and they're ready to do battle. They're ready to do battle. And they've come to this place, and they've been there now for 40 days. 40 days. And in this message series, what we've been looking at is in this story of David and Goliath, in this epic tale, what are some of the things that we can learn about the giants in our life? See, the giant Goliath isn't just a giant in person, but Goliath also represents the giants that we face in our life, the things that really must come down, these giants that must fall in order for us to experience the abundant life that God has in store for us. And Louis's take on this story that's different is that often we've heard the stories that we are supposed to place ourselves in the position of David. Hey, be David, go in and take on the giant of your life and, you know, conquer that giant. When in reality, David is a Jesus figure. That we are not the one who has to take on the giants in our life, that we have a Savior who's already done that and defeated the giants in our lives, and we need to tap into the power and the person of Jesus to take on or to conquer the giants that we have in our life. Giants like fear or rejection, giants like anger, giants like addictions that we might face, that these are the things that we need to invite Jesus into so that we can tap into his power and his presence to defeat them instead of trying to do it all on our own. Because what we see, a common thread throughout Scripture, is whenever we try to do something all by ourselves, for ourselves, without any help, we inevitably fail. And so what God wants to do is he wants to step in to the epic battles of our lives in the person of Jesus to give us victory over the battles, over the giants in our life. And so over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a couple of these giants. We looked at the giant of fear, how so many of us, we just live in this perpetual state of fear. I'm afraid of my job. I'm afraid in my relationships. I'm afraid what my kids are going to do. We just live in this place of anxiety. And the interesting thing is Scripture says over 365 times, that's one for every day of the year plus, don't be afraid. Do not worry. And so God knows that fear and anxiety is something that we are facing. And he says, hey, invite me into this so that we might conquer that fear, conquer that anxiety. Let me be the giant slayer of fear in your life. Last week, we looked at rejection, of how many of us we feel rejected at different points in our lives. It might be from a person. It might be rejected for a job. Just that we, most of us at some point in our life, we are going to face this giant of rejection, that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not handsome enough, we're not beautiful enough, that we're not something enough, and that God wants to step in and say, for me, you are worth Jesus to me. For me, I am willing to die for you. That's how much you are worth to me. And when we begin to realize that it's not by what other people think of us that counts, but it's what God thinks of us that counts. That gives us the ability to then address that giant of rejection in our life and literally knock it down so that we don't live in this place of rejection. Well, today we're going to look at another giant that, quite honestly, I think affects every single one of us, without exception. And it's the giant of comfort. Or what Louis also says in his book, he said, you know, I struggled because I kind of wanted to name this one complacency, but really it's the idea of comfort, of being comfortable in our circumstances, of being comfortable where we are. And for many of us, we are so comfortable in the midst of our lives that we fail to experience the great things that God has for us because we want to live in this place of safety and security. We don't want to take a step of faith. We don't want to take a step into uncertainty. We don't want to walk into these places where we don't know all the answers to. And so we just live in this place of comfort in our lives. And one of the things that we see throughout Scripture is that there's not one single place in Scripture where God says, here's my goal for you. I want you to be comfortable. Nowhere in Scripture do we see that. Nowhere does God say, my greatest desire for you is to sit back, take it easy, and just enjoy life. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite of that. And I am convinced that what the world needs today, and we even saw it this weekend, what the world needs today are Christians who put feet to their faith of going out into the world and loving the people of this world so that this world might come to faith in Jesus. And that means stepping outside of our comfort zones or those places of complacency in our lives. We've got to be a people who don't just click on our social media like, but we actually do something. That we engage in relationships, that we engage in conversations, that we engage in movements of social justice where we are making a difference in our communities and in our world. And it's not until we get out of our comfort zones, I am convinced, that our world will truly change. And so here's what I hope to do this morning, is to make you really uncomfortable. I hope to cause you to look at your life, to literally hold a mirror up to your life and say, I've been just too comfortable. And God is calling me to do something else. I have got to move into a place of discomfort so that I might experience this amazing goodness of God and partner with him because he has invited us into his mission of literally changing the world. Jesus puts it this way, that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. We have been invited to help him do that. And so I hope today, if you're new, great. I believe that you are probably here right now because maybe life has gotten a little comfortable. If you haven't been here in a while and you're here back today, great. Because I'm convinced that you're here because God's like, you've been a little too comfortable. If you're here every week, I'm really glad that you're here because I believe that God's saying, hey, maybe you become a little too comfortable. Because we got a huge mission ahead of us to literally change the world. And God's going to use us, his people, to do that. So we're going to pick up the story of David and Goliath. Let me tell you what's happened so far. Is that so far, we have the armies of God, or the armies of Saul, and the armies of the Philistines on these hills, right? They're at the Valley of Elah, and every day, this giant, Goliath, who's described as 9 feet tall, he's got on all this army. I mean, he is just like the warrior guy. He struts down the hill, stands in the valley, and says, hey, any of you, come on down. And take me on. And in a pattern of warfare in that day, he said, if you win, we will be your slaves. But if I win, you will be our slaves. I'm here. Bring it on. In verse 16 of chapter 17, we are told that this has gone on for 40 days and 40 nights. Really? The Philistines are on one hill. The armies of Saul are on the other hill. For 40 days, morning and night, this giant has come down to the valley and say, bring it on. And here's where our story picks up. In chapter 17, verse 17, it says, one day, Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. And give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report of how they are doing. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Now, I want you to get this picture in your head. It's the morning. They're getting ready. And I can just hear them like, hur. You know, like, let's go. And they're like rallied together. And they get up and they get to the front lines. They are ready to take on the armies of the Philistines. Soon, the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army to army. It's like, you can't get better than this, right? This is good. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunts to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. This is like day 41. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out here each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. Sounds good, right? Actually, Saul's the one who should have come down because he was an honored warrior. Like, he was that guy who should have gone and taken on Goliath. But he's not going, and none of his men are going. Again, picture the battle. They're all ready. They're down there. They're on the front lines. And Goliath starts his taunting, and they cowtail and run. And they have done this for 40 days and nights. So we ask why. What is it that kept them from action? And I think one of the amazing lessons that we can learn from this text, one that Louis points out in his book, is simply this, that comfort is perhaps the scariest giant of them all because it's so subtle in its destruction. See, the armies of Saul were comfortable. They had their tents. They had somebody showing up every day, so they weren't going to run out of food. They had somebody like David showing up with the grain and with the cheese and all that stuff. They rallied in the morning, went down, saw Goliath, went back to their tents, sat around the campfire because the army's not going to try to come up the hill to get them because then they'd be at a disadvantage. They were comfortable in that. And you might ask, how in the world could you be comfortable in that? Well, let me just ask you a question. How comfortable are you in the discomfortable areas of your life? How long do you just settle for the discomfortable areas of your life and you're comfortable in that? That's one of the insidious things about being comfortable. That comfort is perhaps the scariest giant of them all because it's so subtle in its destruction. But the fact is that comfortableness and obedience often butt heads. Is that we get to this place that we get so comfortable that it flies right in the face with what God calls us to do or what God calls us to be or how God calls us to live. He doesn't call us to live comfortable lives sitting back and just waiting. God calls us to be the people of God, to be the army of God, literally going out and taking the world at storm. We have this thing called the Great Commission where God says, I'm calling you. That as you're going into the world, you are supposed to be in the world making followers of me. You have a job to do. But how easy it is for us to sit back and go, man, somebody else is going to do that. Somebody else is going to take care of that. and we don't do anything is we just get complacent. We just get comfortable, and we even get comfortable in our disobedience. We get stuck. We don't do what God calls us to do, and we even get comfortable in that. So that's where I'm hoping to maybe stir a little bit of discomfort in our lives today. Clusely says, paradoxically, our desire to live safely in our comfort zones may actually put us in the most dangerous zone of life. Safety and security may lull us into inaction and cause us to miss the God things in life. Again, here's the fact. God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be faithful. God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be faithful. There's this great story in Scripture where Jesus teaches by example. He teaches a parable. And he's talking to this guy one day, and this guy asks him, he says, hey, like, how am I supposed to live? Jesus tells this story. He says, hey, this rich man had a fertile farm that produced lots and lots of crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, self, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now sit back, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But here's what God said to him. You are a fool. By the way, fool is not a good thing. Would anybody like to be called a fool by God? But God says to this guy, you are a fool. For this very night, you're going to die. Then what happens to all this stuff that you've worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. See, God calls us to be faithful with the things that he has entrusted to us. Be faithful with our resources. Be faithful with our time. Be faithful with our talents. Be faithful with our voices. Be faithful with our feet to make a difference in this world. That we have got to move from a place of spectatorship to being in the game. And we need more people who are in the game because we appear to be losing the game. And so again, I want to stir this idea of comfortableness so that we might feel a little bit of discomfort this morning and ask the question, what is it God wants me to do? So again, the fact is this, God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be faithful. And why? Because comfort is often problematic. Comfort is often problematic. Because it just, why? Because comfort breeds familiarity, even when things aren't good. And familiarity leads to complacency. And complacency, in turn, often leads to missed God opportunities. You see the pattern, right? Man, everything's good. Everything's great. God, I will call you if I need you. And life just sails right along. And how often is it and how easy is it for us to literally edit God into our lives, out of our lives, I'm sorry, that we say, God, I will call you if I need you. Right now, things are going great. Life is sailing along. Everything's peachy keen. God, I will just call you when I need you. That's comfort. But again, the problem with that comfort is we get so comfortable in that that it leads to familiarity, and familiarity leads to complacency, and complacency leads to missed God opportunities. Again, comfort is a good thing. And that's the problem, that good things are usually the ones that do us in. It's not usually the bad things. Good things can do us in as well. You see, here's what God says about us. Here's what God says about you and me. We are God's masterpiece. You know what a masterpiece is, right? It's a one-of-a-kind, unique, unrepeatable work of art. Every single one of us. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can be comfortable. It doesn't say that, does it? Created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. You see, We are invited into the story of God to make a difference in our world. God has invited you into his story, given us the unique, amazing opportunity to be on his team, which, by the way, the end of the book has already told us the result of the game. He won. And we have an opportunity to get in on a guaranteed winning game. But we've got to make that choice. We've got to get out of this place of comfortability and get into this place of discomfort so that we might discover how God wants to use us. So there are four truths about comfort. Four truths about comfort that I want to lift up this morning. The first one is this, and I wish, I will tell you right now, I wish this one wasn't true. With all my heart, I wish this wasn't true because this one quite literally stinks. I don't like it. I wish that it didn't work out this way, but it's just a part of human condition. And it's this, that our faith develops in times of discomfort. That the truth is that our faith thrives in times of discomfort. That's when the pot gets stirred. That when life is comfortable and things are going really well, we tend to easily just kind of walk away from God. And generally, it happens so easily. We miss a Sunday here, we miss a Sunday there. Next thing we know, we're like not in church anymore. Or we stop reading the Bible today. We just didn't have time to read it today. And then we don't have time to read it tomorrow. And next thing we know, man, it's got more dust on it than any other book. It's so easy to just let life go by when the reality is it's in the most difficult seasons of life that our faith has the opportunity to literally take off. The Apostle Paul, like this is the guy who's responsible for writing the majority of the New Testament. This is the guy who has been shipwrecked more times, left for dead more times, didn't have enough to eat, had problem after problem after problem after problem everywhere he went. And he felt that God had called him to go to the ends of the world to tell people about Jesus. And he writes these words. He says, "That's why I take pleasure in my weakness." Okay, everybody who's there, would you please raise your hand? He takes pleasure in his weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Could you imagine your faith getting to that place? I can't imagine my faith getting to that place where, man, I just thank God for all that stuff because it just propels me in my relationship with God. I want to be there. I really want to be there. And it's the fact is that this is that the cross that brought pain to Jesus brought freedom for us. I thought of a different way to put it this way in our small group. And it was just simply this morning, is that we Christians comfortably celebrate the cross of Christ. We Christians comfortably celebrate the cross of Christ. We worship, we sing great songs, we're in community together. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you have done. And by the way, I hope that I don't have to go through that. That we just get to be so comfortable in that when the reality is if we really begin to think about what the cross symbolizes, that it symbolizes death, but it symbolizes life for us, that that's how much God thinks about us, that he was willing to die for us so that we might have life. And it's so easy for us to just be comfortable in that. I think we all need a little holy discomfort in our life so that it will constantly move us deeper in our relationship with God so that we'll never reach a place where we say, I'm good. I've read enough Bible. I've listened to enough sermons. I've served enough times. I've witnessed enough times. It is so good. I hope that we never reach that place where we're like, it's just good the way it is. Because there are 7 billion people on the face of this planet, and a whole bunch of them don't know Jesus. And God wants to use us to reach them. James 1:2-3 says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. See, scripture attests to this idea that it is in the most troublesome, difficult times of life that our faith has the opportunity to grow by leaps and bounds. And so our faith develops, strengthens, goes up a few notches, develops in times of discomfort. A second truth about comfort is that our freedom and God's fame are forever intertwined. That our freedom and God's fame are forever intertwined. David, this guy who slayed Goliath, in Psalm 150, he says, "Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord." 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." See, here's the reality, is that we are supposed to be a people who live in such a way that our freedom and God's fame are forever intertwined. That we don't have freedom without the fame of Jesus. We don't have freedom without the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And it is our job to tell the world about that. Because as Paul says in Romans, if we don't tell them, who will? That we have a job to do. See, the fact is that the point of our lives is not comfort. The point of our lives is the fame of Jesus. The point of our lives is to make Jesus known, that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, that the world would come to know Jesus. And again, here's something I'm absolutely convinced of. We watched horrible images this weekend about the things that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, right? Horrible things. Here's what I believe with all my heart. If the world would know Jesus, that would have never happened. The most devastating, horrible things that happen in our world today, if the world knew Jesus, none of that would happen. So how's the world going to know Jesus if we don't go tell them? We have a job to do. We have got to move out of the complacent comfortableness of our lives, sharing Christ with the world that desperately needs to hear it. Truth number four, God's opportunities often arise from our obedience. See, when we listen to God, when we are disciplined with God, when we are people who are praying to God, worshiping God, serving God, giving for God, when we're in this relationship with God, then amazing things begin to happen. Opportunities really happen when we are in this relationship with God. The more we obey God, the more opportunities God gives us to partner with him to change our world. That's how it works. James 1:22 says, "Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself." See, God says, just read my word, but don't just read it, like do it. Do what it says. Live like it says. Love like it says. Change the world like it says. See, here's what we have to do. We have to make God's passion ours. We have to make what's most important to God, we have to make most important to us. You know what God's passion is? His people. We have to make his passion ours. We have to make his priorities ours. It's not my will, oh God, but yours be done. It's not my will, yours be done, God. But God, help my will to come in line with what your will is. So we have to make his priorities ours. We have to make his people ours. I think this is a challenge for us. Do you know there's not a single person who has ever been created that God doesn't love? That he tells us that every single one of us is his masterpiece. Every single one of us was created in his image. Every single one of us was a thought in God's mind before the world was ever begun. And it's God's passionate desire that everyone would come to a saving knowledge of him. Well, that tells us how important people are to him. Often people say, "Why do you think Jesus doesn't come back sooner?" Right? The world's kind of in a yucky place right now, right? I mean, we just see it, right? We see wars and famine and disease. And if you just take a picture of the world, things don't look so great, do they? But let me ask you a question. Let's switch it around a little bit. If Jesus would come back today, how many in this world would not be with him because they don't know him. Too many. And so God has called you and I to make a difference in this world so that the world might come to know Jesus. So we've got to make his passion ours, his priorities ours, his people ours, and we got to make his purpose ours. Jesus says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost are people who don't know God. That was the purpose of God. He came, Jesus came to reach the least and the lost. He came so that the world might know him. And that's our job as well. I love this quote from Andy Stanley. He says, "We don't end up where we hope to end up." I love this idea. We don't end up where we hope to end up. In other words, like, we gotta figure out what trajectory we're going on, because whatever our trajectory is, that's kind of where we're going. Whatever our trajectory is, that's where we're gonna end up. And so the question is, what's your trajectory? We can't hope to be in a better relationship with God if we're not being intentional about that relationship with God. We can't hope to be closer to Jesus if we're not doing the things that are gonna make us closer to Jesus. So God's opportunities often arise out of our obedience. Truth number four, we can choose to waste our days or claim our days. We can choose to waste our time or claim our time for God. Because see, we are posed this question in James, we are posed this question, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. We don't know what tomorrow holds. John Wesley, the founder of our faith, was asked one time, he's like, so if you knew that Jesus was actually coming back tomorrow, how would you lead your life differently? And he said, no different than I'm leading it right now. Living for Christ, telling people about Christ, and living as Christ. I think that's a great model for us. David says in Psalm 90, verses 10 and 12, 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and fly away. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. We need to understand the brevity of life so that we might grow in wisdom, so that we might grow closer to Jesus. See, the fact is this, God will accomplish his plans one way or the other. And God is inviting us individually and collectively to be a part of that plan. So God's will be done. We prayed in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's the deal. His will be done because he's God. But we have the opportunity, we have the pleasure, we have this amazing place of being able to partner with him, to be in sync with what God wants to do. He's invited us into that, that we don't have to be the spectator. We get to be in the sport. And that's where life really happens. Like, when you're watching a game on TV, he's like, are there times like, man, I just wish I could get in that game. Yeah. We even think we can do it better, right? You know, you should have done this. But life is better in the sport than spectator, isn't it? And God invites us to be in there. So here's the application. Here's the question I want to ask you today. The reality is life is short. Life is short. We have no idea what tomorrow holds. Life is short. So what is it that God wants to do right here, right now in your life? You have come to this place at this time, and I am posing this question to you. What do you think it is that God wants to do right now, right here in your life? Is it time for you to get off the bench and to get into the game? Is it time for you to take a little holy risk and to try something new and different? Is it time to step out into the unknown and be like, hey, I don't know where that's going, but I believe that God is leading me in that direction? Is it time for you to maybe start a new discipline? Is it time for you to engage a little bit more with your faith? I'm going to pose it to you in this way. Maybe you've been wavering. Maybe you've been wavering in your faith, kind of here, kind of not, kind of around, Kind of not. Maybe you've been just wavering and thinking, I'm just kind of sailing along. Well, you know, we have this amazing Bible study opportunity here. It kicks off tomorrow. It is called Disciple Bible Study. It is an intensive 34-week study to get into God's Word. Well, you will read over the course of 34 weeks, 70% of the Bible in community with a small group, and you'll talk about that. 6 out of 7 days a week, you will read Scripture and see that it is God's story to you. And I'm going to throw the gauntlet down right now. If you have never taken a step to go deeper in your relationship with God through committing to reading God's Word, I want to ask you to pray about that and to think about that. And I'm not giving you any more time than tomorrow night at 6 o'clock to think about it. Because some of you, if you have too long to think about it, it's like when you climb up on the high dive, right? You're like, and you just need somebody behind you to go, right? Like, jump. I want to invite you to jump today so that you have an idea what this looks like in this church. This is a serious issue in our church. If you guys, any of you who have been part of Disciple Bible Study, would you raise your hand so everybody can see? Check this out. These are people who have made a decision to dig deeper into God's Word. Maybe you've been wavering a little too long. Maybe you've been wavering in your giving. Maybe you've been more like tipping instead of tithing. Maybe you haven't said, hey, God, what is it that you want me to do with the resources that you have entrusted to me? Again, it's not that God needs your money. He needs your heart. And he says, where your treasure is, there your heart is. And so maybe you've been wavering in your financial giving. And maybe today is a day to say, you know what? I'm going to take that big honking step, and I'm going to start giving in obedience to God. Maybe you've been wavering in your service. Maybe you've been hanging out here for a long time and you've never gotten plugged into a ministry. Wendy Moody is our director of Kids Point, and she's always looking for volunteers who just want to help out with kids. Connor Chalfont is our new director of student ministry. Man, he's looking for people who you just want to invest in students' lives to help them grow in their relationship with God. We have all kinds of ministries in this church, missions, cleaning, all kinds of stuff where you can get plugged in and again, like get off the bench and serve. Because it's in serving, actually, that we draw closer to God, I believe. And so maybe you've been wavering in that. Again, maybe it's wavering in the discipleship. Man, you've heard about the Bible. You've maybe looked at parts of it, but you've never really gotten into it. If the idea of 34 weeks just like freaks you out, Mark McKay leads a Sunday morning Bible study. It's at 9 o'clock every Sunday. He would love to see you in his class. Esther Galloway does one. She'd love to see you in her class. So we have a men's group that meets every Friday morning at 6 a.m., we'd love to see you in our men's group. We're done by 7, so you can get on your way and get to work. Our women, I'm going to tell you about in a few minutes, our women are going to start another new study at the end of this month. So maybe it's time to stop wavering and take a jump, a leap, into one of those areas. Maybe you have been wondering with an O too long. You're filled with curiosity, maybe have some doubt, and you've never really done anything about that. In other words, maybe you've never kind of really committed. Maybe it's time to commit. You've just been kind of wondering and questioning, but you haven't really been investigating. Well, maybe it's time to investigate some more. Maybe you've been one who's been wandering with an A, that you've been moving about aimlessly with no destination or purpose. Maybe you've just been like, I'm going to kind of go in this direction, or I'm going to go in that direction, or I'm going to go in this direction. And maybe you need somebody to go, whoa, stop. Like, head that way. Like do something that is going to develop your faith. Do something that's going to deepen your relationship with God. Maybe you've just been waiting. Maybe you've just gotten really comfortable. And it just feels like stuff is going well. Well, I want to encourage you that it's not in the well times that you grow closest in your relationship with God. It is in the most difficult times that you grow in your relationship with God. And here's what I want to be. I want to be prayed up and scriptured up and relationship with Jesus up so that when I encounter the difficulties of life, I am better equipped to handle them. And not when those things happen to life and going, God, where are you? Because he's literally right there. And I've been walking with him and being in a relationship with him. So if you've been waiting, maybe it's time to say, I'm not going to wait anymore. It's time to jump in and go in. So here's a question I want to leave you with today. Where is God calling you out of comfort? Where is he calling you out of comfort? And here's what I want you to do. We're just going to be quiet for a minute. And I just want you to look at that question. And I want you to pray for a minute. And I want you to ask God, where is it in my life that I've just been comfortable? And where is it? One thing, that's all I'm asking. One thing that you could fill in that blank, that you could say, where is God calling me out of comfort? The Bible. Service. Giving. Sharing your faith. What is it? Let's just take a minute. You look down at that piece of paper, or if you don't have one, you just look up at that question, and you answer that question for you. I still remember when God called me into ministry. I was about 25, and I felt God calling me, saying, hey, George, it's time to step out of your career and serve me. And that freaked me out. I was like, you do not want me. And I wrestled with God for several years, and then finally said yes to him. What an amazing adventure it has been. I remember the day when I wasn't faithful in my giving. And I remember when God literally said to me, why not? Do you trust me? Do you trust me to supply all your needs according to my glorious riches? And I was like, okay. And I stepped up with giving. I didn't go 1%, 3%, 5%, 8%. I just went from like not much to 10%, and I've never looked back. And God has supplied all of our needs according to his riches. I remember when God has called me to talk to someone. You know, that person who may be waiting on you at store or in a restaurant, and everything inside you is going, ask them how they're doing. Ask them how they're doing, because you see it. And I those opportunities when you just look at somebody and say, hey, like, how you doing? And then you get a story, and you have an opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. And I don't know if you got a church somewhere, but hey, we'd love to invite you to our family, because we need those opportunities, right? What are those places that God wants you to step into abundance and out of comfort to experience what he has in store for you?